This is Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zeldin. Our guest today is Matt Fitzgibbons. Matt is an accomplished musician who writes patriotic music. It is a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's great to be here with JPFO.
Matt, why don't we start by, since I've made an issue about your patriotism, let's talk about your family's background.
Okay. Well, my father served in the Marine Corps, so obviously that had a lot of impact on me. His oldest brother served in the 29th Infantry in World War II and was killed in Normandy, so that had a profound effect on the family as well. Both of my father's two older brothers served as well, one in the Army, the other in the Navy. My great-grandfather served during the Civil War in a Connecticut regiment. It was at the First Battle of Bull Run, and later, when the unit was disbanded, he joined up again, I guess much to the chagrin of his wife, but he joined up again and went to Petersburg. So my family has something of a tradition of serving in the military, and I've always had a deep respect for what they do.
Okay, well, the name of your album is called Patriot 2, A Celebration of Liberty. And can you tell us about your project and why did you name it Patriot 2 and A Celebration of Liberty?
It's not named for me. I named the album for all those in our past and present who fight to protect our founding principles, the Constitution and the things that made this nation great. And I wanted to write an album that had some songs on it that celebrates our founding principles and the men and women who defend them, and hopefully inspire some people to think about, talk about, and maybe even read the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. So this is the second project. The first one was released a couple of years ago, and this one I released on Veterans Day last year, so it's only a few months old at this point.
Quite often people talk about patriotism in America, but what is your definition of a patriot?
That's really a great question. I think that around the world, a lot of people see the term patriotism and nationalism as synonymous, whereas in the United States, that's not true. And the reason I say that is because even up until, say, 1776, when a few people were still embracing, their being British citizens, they embraced these notions that that were written in the Declaration of Independence and then later the Constitution and Bill of Rights. So even before we had a country, America was dedicated to these notions of individual rights. And so, you know, although around the world people associate patriotism with nationalism, that's not what it means in this country. You don't have to support the administration or anything else like that to be in love with the Bill of Rights, for example. And that, to me, someone who goes out of their way to protect them, JPFO is a great example. Spending all the time that you do to guard these precious rights, that's true patriotism.
Well, Matt, why don't we listen to one of your songs called Remember the Americans, which is a good example of what you've just been discussing.
Once you've been free. Well, I skipped Korea, but my son was sent to Vietnam. Made it home and had a daughter who's grown to look just like her mom. She graduates from the Naval Academy in the spring of next year. You'll never meet anyone smarter, and she's so sincere. She'll be on her way across the sea to fight for some stranger's liberty. And we won't know if she'll be back again. We just hope that you will remember the Americans.
This one is kind of important to me because while I was recording it, I originally started with a guitar lead, and it wasn't right. I wanted to bridge the generational gap, and the project was taking a long time and, costing a lot. I actually went down to the local music store with about 6 pounds worth of quarters in my pocket to go buy the harmonica. So I picked up the harmonica, and on my way out of the store, I thought to myself, well, you know, someday maybe I could tell this story, and it'll be a funny little anecdote. And I thought, I laughed a little, and then it dawned on me, well, you know, thank God it wasn't pennies. So,
who is doing all the performing on Patriot 2, Matt?
Well, it's primarily myself. I wrote all the music and the lyrics. I do the vocals, guitars, bass, drums, harmonica, recording and engineering and such. A good friend of mine, Jay Silverberg, his rock name is Rock Nurse. He's actually a registered nurse. He plays the lead guitars on most of the tracks. And then a good friend of mine, also son of a Marine, Gene Caverly, he plays lead on the fourth track, No One to Blame. And finally, Gary Fulton of Sonic House Productions did the mixing and final mastering for it. So it's pretty much, you know, pretty much myself in terms of the marketing and, you know, the website, the promotion, and all the rest of it. It's a lot of fun, a lot of hard work.
Well, this would be a good time perhaps for you to give people your website address so they can find out more about your album.
Ah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity, for the plug. Yes, it's patriotmusic.com. Pretty easy to remember, patriotmusic.com. I also, the track that you played, Remember the Americans, I went down to the National Archives in Maryland just a couple of months ago and poured through several tens of thousands of photos of, you know, photographs of combat that American veterans had been in over the course of the last century approximately, and put them together into a video that's free on my website for the song Remember the Americans. And it tells the story of a fictional family that that fought from World War One to the present, and ends talking about the protagonist's granddaughter and how she'll be serving as well. And the point of the song is that Americans have had a long tradition of fighting overseas for strangers' liberties, and we need to remember them and what they've done.
What kind of comments do you get about your CD?
I've got a lot of interesting. It kind of ranges. It depends. For example, veterans and things will contact me, or families of veterans, and say how important it is to them. Every once in a while, I'll hear from a radio station or something that they're concerned that the cover of my first album, for example, has an American flag. And I was told flat out, not mentioning any names, but they said, no, none of the DJs here will play that because it's going to look too Republican to them. So every once in a while, those who haven't heard it are concerned that there's overt politics in it. But, there, you know, there really isn't any politics. If you believe in the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, there's absolutely nothing political about the music. But generally speaking, the anyone who's, you know, heard the music has a lot of great things to say. So I'm getting a tremendous amount of support, which is, you know, it's fantastic.
America, it was meant to be a republic, not a socialist democracy.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. For me, I grew up in Connecticut originally, but I had a lot of friends from other countries. And I lived in Asia for a couple of years, went after high school, before college, and then back again after college. After that, I taught in Manhattan to international students. My point is that I came to the conclusion that although we're made up of all of these people from different cultures, there's still something that distinguishes the United States from the rest of the world. And that's our founding principles. You know, watching this rift form in the nation's ideology, you know, splitting into two different sides, those who know about what this country was founded on and what made it great and the freest place on the planet in world history, and those who don't, or those who know a little bit about it and think that they've got answers, when, in my opinion, these documents are founding principles. They hold all of our answers. And if we don't know, you know, where we're from, how can we know where we're going? So that's the whole point of why I'm doing this. I'm trying to inspire people to understand exactly what you just said. This is a republic, for example. You know, government's purpose is to protect individual rights, not to protect individuals, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Matt, maybe a good piece of music to listen to at this moment would be called I'll See You Again.
I don't blame the uniform. Or the reasons you were there. Cause I know the kind of soul you are. You went because you care.
Yeah, this song, I've got a kind of an interesting story about. I had gotten a lot of great reception on the first album, Patriot, but as I sent it out to radio stations, I kept hearing that although they loved the writing and the lyrics and the musicianship, consistently I was hearing that it was not up to standards production-wise. So when I finished about 35 songs and boiled them down to the 11 or 12 I was going to use on the new album, I had just gone to a studio and gotten a quote, and as you know, because of the media and things that you do, you know, it's expensive. And as soon as I got home, I checked my emails, and I got a message from a gentleman who had served training Navy corpsman and had just retired, I guess 35 years. And he was distraught talking about one particular, I guess, kind of a favorite student of his who he just found out was recently killed in Iraq. And I released one of my tracks called For the Heroes from the first CD for free, and he had found it and wrote me about it. And it touched me so so deeply that I made my instant decision, okay, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to hold back on the production of this CD. I'm just going to do what I have to do. And in the next 45 minutes, I wrote this track, I'll See You Again.
This is Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. Our guest today is an accomplished musician. His name is Matt Fitzgibbons. Matt, is this the first time that you've written music based on a particular theme?
No, actually in 89, between high school and college, Gene Caberly and I, Gene's playing lead on the fourth track, No One to Blame, he and I wrote a song called The Year of the Snake, and that was about the Tiananmen Square massacre, and it was released probably about 2 months later. That track was played on Voice of America and a whole bunch of international stations around the world. The problem is the very beginning of the song started off identically to Tom Petty's Free Falling, and he released his about, oh, I think it was a month, 2 months after I released mine, so I just pulled the plug and stopped marketing it when he released it. But I had a chance to meet some of the Chinese dissident students as well that were here speaking in the U.S. But, you know, for about 16 years after that, I pretty much well just censored myself and stopped writing about anything having to do with current events. I figured there was too much of that, and I didn't have a snowball's chance. And heck, you know, talking about the Constitution. And finally, as I saw this rift forming, I just said, well, you know, I need to do this. I absolutely have to do it. And so I did, and I think I've written my best material because I was true to myself, finally.
That's usually the way it works. If I remember, we spoke about 2 years ago when you first contacted JPFO. Has JPFO had any, oh, I guess we'll call it influence on what you've been doing?
Yeah, tremendously, tremendously. I mean, I live on the internet. That's what I do. I'm a web designer, and you know, I use the internet for news and history and to find like-minded people and to try to find out how I could contribute. And I came across JPFO. Now, as I mentioned, you know, my ancestors are from Ireland, so it always seemed logical to me that any people that were targeted for genocide would passionately want to defend the Second Amendment. Either in the past or anyone today, you make great points about it being a real civil rights issue. And what really impressed me was that JPFO takes a unique approach to all of this because it's non-political, but you use popular media, you know, film, comic books, you know, creative approaches and things to inspire people to become aware of these things. And as far as I know, there are no other organizations doing this. So I was not only very much inspired to contact you because of what you were doing, but, you know, because as far as I know, you're the only organization that does these things like films and such. And so I really wanted to talk to you and see if you could give me any advice about what I was trying to do with the music side of it. And it turns out to be, you know, I'm so glad I met you.
Perhaps some of the best advice we've given you, at least in my opinion, is that we got you focused on referring to yourself as a Bill of Rightist.
That's true. I think that's absolutely true. As you said, it makes people ask the question, you know, well, what is that? And it doesn't peg you into any political party, because I really want to stay out of politics as much as possible. And again, if you support the, you know, any of the Bill of Rights, hopefully all of them, there's absolutely nothing political about it, in my opinion. It's standing against them is just so radical. But standing for the Bill of Rights and what made this country great should just be the norm. That's not political at all. So I don't see JPFO in any way, shape, or form as political.
No, we're not. We simply promote and believe in a Bill of Rights culture. You know, moving on to another one of your songs, it's called Freedom, and you were kind enough to let us use it in our recent movie, The Gang. Can you tell us something about the song called Freedom?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, by the way, if you haven't seen The Gang, it really is fantastic, and it's not just because my song is in it. I mean, I learned so much in, you know, just a short sitting watching the movie. It really, really impressed me, blew my mind. This song was kind of unusual for me in the way that I write, because it was one of these pieces where I had heard the whole thing in my head first and then recreated it. Normally, that's not the way that I write, but this one turned out that way. This is also the first song on the album of 12 tracks.
Matt, I think we'll listen to a few bars of Freedom. You may want to even comment on it a bit more.
What I must give to keep.
One of my favorite songs. The lyrics, I think, speak for themselves. What I was very happy about was the way that it fits in the credits at the end of your movie, The Gang, because the emotion, I think, kind of fits it. And that was a really, really nice thing for me to see such a, you know, a great production, and then all of a sudden, wow, I know that song.
Someone was listening to your album, and they raised the question if you're using synthesizers on Patriot.
No, actually, there are synthesizers only in a couple of places. Everything is played, by real people, real human beings. I have synths in, I think, two spots, but they're supposed to be synthesizers. You know exactly what they are. The weapons recordings. I recorded quite a lot of gunshots for one piece called Using Both Hands, and that was a lot of fun, a blast.
Well, if it's a blast, why don't we listen to a little bit of it?
Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot. They told us things that you never forgot. They teach the lessons to your daughters and sons. To fear the government that fears your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe. Take gun control is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. It gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my.
Now, Matt, what kind of response have you had from people about using both hands?
Everybody laughs. Everyone who's into guns laughs, and people who are not into weaponry at all, they all seem to appreciate it as well. It's, you know, it's meant to be kind of a tongue-in-cheek song. It's based on the old adage, gun control is using both hands. So it's a very serious song, but it's also meant to be kind of funny. I support all of the Bill of Rights, so I had to have a piece on the Second Amendment because in many ways that's the key to keeping all the others. An insurance policy, I think, is how you refer to it, right?
It's the guardian of the Bill of Rights.
The guardian of the Bill of Rights. Yeah, it's critical. I've got, I think, 6 samples of guns. I've got a 22, that's a Ruger 10/22, and DSA SA-58, that's a 308. Got a 12-gauge, a 223, and then finally the song ends with a 41 Magnum Blackhawk. And one little kind of interesting thing, most of the pieces when you're doing final mastering and mixing, you know, require EQing or reverb and such, but it's interesting because the gunshots didn't require any reverb at all. We shot down at a range in a woods in Kent, Connecticut, and the recordings came out perfectly. There's actually a section of the song, which I'm not sure if it's in the sample or not that they heard, but there's a section of the song where you hear the 308 firing 4 times in concession, consecutively, I should say, and they weren't actually punched in. It was coincidental that the way that I fired was in perfect beat with the song, so we kept it, and I got a big smile out of that when it worked out.
I would imagine so. There's another song I wanted people to hear. It's called We Were Once Them. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
I think the lyrics on this pretty much well speak for themselves. This is kind of a warning to ourselves that if we don't know what our rights are, if we don't know what's been done in our history to maintain them, then we will definitely lose them.
Well, it's happened to many people around the world.
Absolutely. There's no question about that.
Tell me, you live in the state of Connecticut. What is the state of affairs for gun owners in Connecticut?
Well, it's certainly not what they should be. It's not one of the worst states, but it does have its own list of weapons that have been banned. So even though the federal assault weapons ban, as they call it, sunsetted, it still has no impact on people living in Connecticut because we have so many lawyers here that they... detailed descriptions of things. So, for example, you can't own anything with an AK-47 or Kalashnikov-type action, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. But it's not New Jersey or California, for example.
Well, some people know, not everyone knows, that a former senator from Connecticut, Thomas Dodd, used the 1938 Nazi gun control laws as a model for the 68 Gun Control Act, which has been breeding other little gun control acts all along. And so Connecticut can claim fame to Thomas Dodd, unfortunately.
Wow. Well, Connecticut can also claim fame to, you know, Nathan Hale and Roger Sherman. So I prefer to think of those guys.
I agree with you. Matt, is there anything else you'd like to talk about your music before we run out of time?
No, I'd just like to encourage people to go to patriotmusic.com. There are music samples there. And my video, Remember the Americans, is available on YouTube. And if you support what I do, I'd love to have you post a comment and, maybe give it a few stars up there as well. And don't forget, please, to support JPFO because it's really a great organization.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Matt, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
This has been Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. And please remember, if you won't defend your rights, don't complain when you lose them.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of JPFO.org or its members. Talkin' to America is a production of JPFO.org.